Church. The Bible is full of negatives and very, very bad things. One of the things that I appreciate about our God and about the Bible writers that He inspired is that they don't shy away from the difficult subjects and topics. The Bible is not a book of bad news. The Bible is not a book of problems and failures, but the Bible is a book of good news. It is a book of victories, and it is a book of God's great mercy, and it is a book of solutions. And we get what we look for in the Word of God. And so, according to what your ministry is, sometimes I can work and move in the ministry of prophecy, but I try not to do that too much because it can be very... sometimes the prophets can be very, very negative and nasty. They say some very harsh things in that spirit from time to time. And I think from time to time we need to hear a strong voice of prophecy. We need to hear the voice of the coming destruction, the disappointments, and the displeasure of God. But I don't know that I would want to be in a church where that's all you ever heard. Thank God for God's wisdom when He made the body. He made it of many parts, and He put many gifts into the body so that we can be ministered to appropriately at the appropriate time. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 2. We're going to read verses 31 through 35. And I do mix a little prophecy in sometimes with when we're preaching. Unfortunately, I know that as a church, sometimes we grow familiar with familiar voices and familiar preaching. And Jesus made the statement, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. Some of the sermons that we preach here at the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church, and I applaud you today. You all have been getting fantastically with the program and worshiping and getting engaged in the preaching and the exhortation of the Word of God. And I applaud you for that today. Don't ever let the Word of God get familiar to you. Don't ever let the voice of your pastor become a despised voice to you, but always cherish the voice. See, the pastor can always tell who the sheep are, who the saints are, and who those are that he is called to pastor because they listen to his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. But pastors, oftentimes we do deal with people that don't listen to our voice. They don't follow our voice. They don't cherish our voice, and they listen to other voices. And unfortunately, as a pastor, you come to realize those people are not your saints. They're not your sheep as much as you would like for them to be. But in any event, no matter whether there's a big crowd or a small crowd, whether they like what we have to say or whether they don't like what we have to say, we have a ministry and a responsibility. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And so we want to preach a word to you today, intermingled with prophecy, intermingled with exhortation, intermingled with a little bit of pastoring and a little bit of meddling, and a little bit of mail reading here and there. And I know that there's a small crowd today, but I feel in the Holy Ghost. And sometimes the Lord tells us and shows us things in advance because there are going to be trying and difficult circumstances surrounding what He wants to do. But I believe the Lord wants to do something supernatural in the house of God today. I believe the Lord wants to deliver somebody today, to set somebody free today, to change something in somebody's life that you have been wrestling with for a long time. How many of you believe that God comes into our worship services to change us? How many of you came here today out of begrudgment and out of spite and just because you know that's what you have to do? And I wonder how many of you came here today because you want the power of God and the Word of God to change your life, to change the way that you think, to change the way that you see the world around you, and to give you more effectiveness and more power in your ministry. I wonder if there's anybody here today that came with that in their mind when they stepped into the house of God. If you came here with that in mind, God, change me and grow me and make me a greater, more powerful Christian ambassador in this community. Would you just shout a praise of hallelujah to Jesus right now? Oh, Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 in the King James Version. Thou, O King, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone, everybody say the stone. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. Everybody say a great mountain. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Hallelujah. Can we just say thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah for coming to the earth and coming to Calvary and striking at the feet of the image and bringing great power and your great kingdom into this world in a spiritual way. Mark chapter 11 and verses 20 through 26. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursest, is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Can I just tell you today that one of the greatest weaknesses that I have ever experienced in my life and in my ministry and walk with God was not having enough faith in God. If we could have even just a little bit of faith in God, there are things that could change this morning, this afternoon, today, before we walk out of this building. If we could just have a little bit of faith. How much is a little bit? Jesus said enough, just about the size of a grain of a mustard seed. That if a little bit of faith can be planted the size of a seed into the soil of our spiritual hearts, the Bible says that that mustard seed will grow and become the largest and the most expensive of all the herbs in the garden, and even that the birds of the air will come and fill it. I want to say to you today, if you can just have a little bit of faith, that this old preacher knows what he's talking about, that the scriptures that have been read to you are true, and that God really does care about the sparrow that falls from the sky, and God really does have the hair on your head numbered, that He knows everything that's going on in your life right now, and He has every intention in this service today to change you and to bring His power into your life like you have never experienced it before. If you can just have a little bit of faith, oh, you may say to yourself, as the man said to Jesus that came for the healing of his child, Jesus said, what do you mean, can I? Or if I want to? Of course he can. Of course he wants to. Of course he cares about what's going on in your little life today. And Jesus said to him, if you've got faith, and if you believe, it is possible. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. If you can only pray that kind of a prayer today, it was enough for that man to receive healing from the Almighty God for his child, and deliverance came to that man's house that day because he said, Lord, just give me a little bit of faith. Oh, hallelujah. For verily, verse 23, I say unto you that whosoever, look at your neighbor and say, Jesus talking about you. Hallelujah. Come on now. Come on, sheep. You're the voice of the shepherd today. because he is speaking in this house. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. I'm talking about a God today that hears and that answers from heaven. It's time to stop praying feeble prayers. It's time to stop playing, amen, patty cake, Jesus' name in the prayer closet. And it's time to start having a little bit of faith. And it's time to start believing that our God not only hears and not only answers, but that he hears me and he answers me and he cares about my needs and my situations. And if I will believe in him, I will have what my heart desires from him. And he goes on and he says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Jesus, he always points out sticking places in our spiritual life. He always points out the obstacles to our faith, and oftentimes they're not what you would think that they would be. And oddly enough, and only in the insight of the divine king could he say this thing in conjunction with moving mountains. He said, when you pray, forgive. How many of you here know today that some of the biggest mountains that you have ever faced in your life have had to deal with forgiveness, where we have not believed that God could forgive us of our sins? Thank God that mountain was removed and cast into the sea. Some people cannot forgive themselves, and some cannot forgive others. But Jesus said, you want a mountain to be removed, you want whatever you pray to be answered, you've got to have a forgiving heart before you begin. And that forgiving heart causes God to become responsive to the faith that you have and the prayers that you pray. That also your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a dream. This great kingdom of Babylon. You might say he had a nightmare. In his dream, he saw an image. And as Daniel begins to interpret, he says the image are nations, powerhouses, armies, which represent their religions and their cultures. This world that we live in and this life that we live is full of nations, and it's full of problems, and it's full of struggles that we often find ourselves in the middle of what it would be to say a living nightmare. That we look into our lives and we think, how did this ever happen? How did we ever get in this situation? How did we ever find ourselves in these dark days? Job, in his book, in chapter 14 and verse 1, he said that men are born, that mortals are born of woman, and they only live a few short days, and those days are full of trouble. In Psalm 34:19, David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh my God, we go through so many things. Sometimes before, David said that I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Sometimes we aren't even but a few days out of our mother's womb, and we're living. Sometimes we aren't even out of the womb
yet, and we're living in a home where there's violence, and there's anger, and there's bitterness, and resentment, and hatred. They say, talk to your baby when it's in the womb, because it can hear you and recognize your voice. God, help us. Some of us have been raised in the womb with so much anger, and so much hatred, and so much vitriol, and we come out of that womb so innocent, so untouched, and so chaste. But so quickly, David said, the troubles of life pile up, and before we realize it, we're just grade school age, and our minds are so full of turmoil and trouble, and our hearts are so full of fear and anger, and we become angry teenagers, and we become angry young adults, and we go through life in fear, and we go through life struggling, tossing in our minds with all that have come upon us, and we go out into adulthood, and we make mountains out of molehills, and we create situations and things, and the survival techniques and tactics that we use when we were children to try to get by, till we could move out on our own and do our own thing. Those solutions to the problems that we had when we were younger become the problems that we have when we're adults. When you grow up, you're not a child anymore. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted like a child, I did things that children would do, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Oh yes, we struggle with many things in our lives. Oh, but I want to preach to you today the message about good news, that our God that we serve is greater than anything that can ever come across our path in this life. It doesn't matter how you were tortured. It doesn't matter how you were tormented. It doesn't matter how broken and twisted your life may be. We serve a God that is greater, amen, than anything or anyone that will ever breathe a breath of life on this earth. We serve a God that is greater than all of His creation. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 15, it says, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales, and He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. I want you to know something today. When He says the nations are as a drop of a bucket, the United States of America is nothing more than a drop in God's bucket. And if the nation of 360 million people is nothing more than a drop in the bucket, where does that leave you and me? If a nation of India of a billion people is nothing more than a drop in the bucket to God, where does that leave you and me? It's a wonder that David said, oh God, why are you mindful of me? I am nothing more. The writers in the Old Testament said, we are just worms in your sight, oh God. Amen. The nations of this world, Russia and China and Great Britain, are just a drop in God's bucket. And how much smaller is the power of the problems that we have in our lives before our King and our Savior? If He has power over the stars in the sky, if He holds the earth and He spins it on nothing, woo, hallelujah, how much smaller up. we serve today. Oh, I know that there may be images in our lives. There may be things that we value. Oh, the Bible says the image was of gold, silver, bronze, and iron and clay. All very valuable things for making money and trade and then making weapons and making statues and idols and buildings and castles and palaces and strongholds. But Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, there was a stone that a hand came and reached out of the mountain. Oh, that humanity, that sea of humanity, that mountain of many rocks and pebbles and stones and boulders. Oh, there was a rock on that mountain that the hand of God jostled loose. And I'm here to tell you today that one rock that was discarded, the Bible said, oh, that the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. God jostled loose one little human being from that mountain of rocks and pebbles and boulders. And it came crashing down the side of that mountain in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And it hit the feet of the statue and all of the gold and all of the silver. What did the Lord say? Single nation that was a part of that image. And they became dust, and they became like the chaff that when the wind blows, the chaff just blows away and disappears into the field, never more to be seen. We need to allow Jesus to destroy some things in our lives. We need to allow Jesus to destroy some images and some strongholds in our lives. Hallelujah. We need to allow Jesus to bring down. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm here to tell you some good news today, that this powerful God that we serve, that He cares about your needs and your situation. And even though you're sitting in a service today bored, some of you are sitting in the service and you can't wait to get out and do your little chores for the day. Your mind is on something else and somewhere else. But I believe there are a couple sheep in the house today that are listening to the voice of the shepherd. I believe there are a couple sheep here today that are here for more than just a little tuft of grass in the field, but they want to see more and know more and be more victorious in the Spirit of God. I believe there are a couple sheep right now that are listening to my voice, and you're not just talking off another Sunday on your calendar so you can get to heaven and say, God, I showed up to church like I was supposed to, but you are hungry for more of Him. The people sitting around you may not even know what's going on in your life, but my God knows what's going on in your life today. And it is His desire and design to take that stone of stumbling and to cast it down at the feet of that stronghold. I'm talking about a tower that will fall. I'm talking about an image that will come apart at the seams. Amen. All it needs is one little rock. Jesus, one little man named Jesus to get on the feet, and all of those strongholds that have held us in captivity and sway for so many years will come crumbling down at the power of the Almighty God that we serve. In the book of Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 and 7, he was talking to one of the Jewish rulers, Zerubbabel, after the exile had returned to Jerusalem, and they were trying to rebuild the temple, but they were facing obstacles, they were facing obstructions, and they were trying to rebuild and bring glory back to the name of Jehovah, the name of Yahweh in His city, in that place, the city of David, that place called Jerusalem. But there were adversaries, and they were discouraged, and there were people that were threatening them. Oh, some of you may have lost the place that you used to be in God. Some of you may have fallen away and just been felt like a cast out, like an outcast, like an exile. And you just, it's been so long since you've known the victory of God. And you know that God has called you to be a light in this community. You know that God has called you and given you gifts and ministries of the Spirit. But you have been under attack. You have been discouraged. You have been carried away. You have been in exile. And now that you've returned, and now that you're back where you know you need to be, but it still seems like you're not making any progress. Oh, that's what Zerubbabel felt like. I know I came all the way back from Babylon. I came all the way back from the Medo-Persian Empire. I traveled these treacherous roads full of thieves and marauding bands. Oh, God of tribal bands. And you brought me back here. And I see this desolate place. I see this broken down place. And I know you brought me here to build, to build, to build. Oh God, but I'm so discouraged. Oh God, I don't think it's going to ever work out. Oh God, I don't think we're going to be able to ever get anything accomplished here. Oh, but the Lord sent a prophet called Zechariah. And he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might and nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Yes. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstone to the shouts of God bless it. God bless it. Jesus said to his disciples, don't be excited about this withered up victory. There are many empty hearts and many empty religions and empty prayers that are being prayed. And God is taking from the roots the life out of all of those who refuse to conform themselves to His image. But you disciples, let me tell you something. If you will only believe, you can say to this mountain, be cast in to the sea, and it will happen. Somebody could have a little bit of faith today. If somebody could get it in their hearts today and shake off the lethargy of the season and the holiday. If somebody could shake off their need to have a big crowd on Sunday. If somebody could shake off all of their own ideals of how it's supposed to be and how they'd like for it to be. And if somebody could just believe for a minute that the rock Christ Jesus is all powerful. It may seem impossible that you would rebuild this temple. Oh, you're not going to be able to do it by your own might or power. But my Spirit is going to bring down this great mountain. It's nothing more than a molehill in my sight. And I will crush it down under my feet. And I will crush your enemies, Sanballat, Tobiah, and those others. I will crush them under your feet. And you will rebuild this house to me, and you will bring out the capstone, and you will offer sacrifices. Hear it now. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God that we serve today. Amen. We need to say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. It said, whoever asks, whatever you ask, if you believe, you will have. Let's all stand together today. There's no reason or purpose. It's not a without purpose, without reason, or it's not a poem without a rhyme. It's not a tune without a harmony. What God does, what He does in our lives. God didn't just, I preached Wednesday night, talked to the church Wednesday night. We need to fall in love with the light. God didn't just come here to forgive sins. God didn't just come here to deliver us from the hand of Satan. God didn't just come here to just, we're so negative in our focus of what God is doing. God came here to establish a kingdom. He didn't just come here to tear down the devil's kingdom. He came here to build up his own kingdom. He said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it." I'm going to tell you what your problem is in the eyes of God. He's like a little boy skipping rocks on the water. Jesus, it has been recorded, said, "Let he that is without sin cast the first stone." There's only one that is capable of doing that. Jesus casts the stone. He is the stone. And in the dream, the stone came and hit the feet of the image. All the empires of the world crumbled into power. That was not the purpose. That was just a part of the plan. The Bible says that little stone that was hewn out of the mountain, it began to grow. And it began to expand. It began to increase. Kind of reminds me of a volcano. And as it expanded and increased, not only did it fill up the region of his dream, but Daniel said that stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. I'm talking about what God wants to do in our lives today. I'm talking about destruction of the images and the things and the molehills and what may seem like mountains to us in our lives. I'm talking about complete pulverization and destruction of those things. And I'm talking about a rock that is of the greatest and most powerful seeds that can be planted in us. And his name, somebody tell me what his name is. His name is Jesus. And I'm talking about a rock that has growing power. Only God can take a rock and turn it into the seed of a mountain. Only God can take a rock and turn it into the seed of a mountain. And if God is working in my life, and God is working in your life, he is going to plant a mountain inside of you that is going to be greater than anything in the earth, that is going to be greater than anything that has ever happened to you before. Everything else that has gone before will become nothing but dust. The Apostle Paul said, "I've done this and I've done that, and I've been here and I've been there, and I've performed this and I've performed that, but I consider all of those things to be nothing more than cow feces, that I might win Jesus Christ." Oh, I'm talking about something that is greater than family ties and connections and relationships. Jesus said, if you don't hate your father and your mother and your brother and your sister, you cannot be my disciple. I'm talking about something greater than the need for food, something greater than the need for health, something greater than the need for air itself. I'm talking about a mighty rock, Christ Jesus, and that when it is planted inside of us, it will destroy everything that has gone before. All the good, all the bad is swept away by the power of our rock, Jesus. And he becomes greater and greater and greater until in our lives the only thing that there's room for is the mountain of Christ Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And this kingdom and this spirit will grow in us until it fills our whole life with power in might. Isaiah said in chapter 2 and verse 2, "In the last days the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it." How many of you know that that rock has already been thrown? Oh, yes, when Jesus was born into the Holy Roman Empire, a rock was thrown at the feet of that last nation empire. Oh, and there was a spiritual shaking in the nations of the world. And eventually Rome was conquered, amen, by the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm talking about a kingdom that's already expanding inside of me and inside of you. There is nothing that is greater than this kingdom in us. Hallelujah. Now, you ready for me to preach the other half of the message today? Woo! Everybody needs a mountain in their life. Everybody needs a mountain in their life. I wasn't going to preach this today, but I heard a confirming word in the men's prayer meeting last night. And one of the brothers was speaking to one of the other brothers and sort of talking about Caleb in his old age and saying, I still want my mountain. Every saint of God, every woman of God, every man of God, God puts a mountain in our lives that forever changes. He called Abraham to Mount Moriah in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. And in the New Living Translation, he named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use the name as a proverb. And the saying goes like this, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Oh, how many times in the Bible? How many times can we go back and see the prophets on mountains? How many times can we see David on that same mountain, Mount Zion? How many times Jesus teaching on the mount? How many times? There is a mountain of the power and the glory and the victory and the mercies and the love and the favor and the blessings of God that wants to grow inside of us.
Oh, yes, hallelujah.
And everything else become nothing before us. I like what Jesus said. He talked about casting mountains into the sea. He talked about plucking up trees by the roots. He said, when you pray in faith, and do not doubt. And when you pray for Him. Bow our heads together today. If you would like to come and pray again, I know that some have already been praying and been up the altar. If you'd like to come and pray again, it's time for the rock, Christ Jesus, to be cast at the feet of that image in your life. It's time for the rock, Christ Jesus, to come with the foot of our Lord. The Bible says that He will bruise the head of the serpent, crushing it under His feet. It's time for us to let Jesus stamp out some molehills in our lives and in our minds and in our hearts, and to bring victory. Don't leave this building because there is a mountain of the Lord, a holy place with lightnings and thunderings and dark clouds shaking and earthquakes. There is a mountain of the Lord that God is growing inside of us. Oh, an implantation of spiritual proportions and dimensions that our God will put inside of us today in place of all of those other things. Don't wait another moment, but come to this front right now and cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, let that rock hit me right in my soul. Let those strongholds in my mind be destroyed. Come on, don't wait another minute. Come on down to the front right now. And let's pray together and believe God. Let faith be stirred up in the house today. There is a stronghold that is ready to come down. There is Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how valuable, it doesn't matter how sturdy or strong, it is time for it to come down in the power and the presence of the rock Jesus. Hallelujah. Our Lord and our Savior and our King of Kings. Can we lift up our voices in prayer together? For these and these that are gathered, would you come and gather around the front and pray with these that are here. Ladies, come and pray with the ladies and come and let's just lift up a prayer to the Lord today of faith. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, my God.